Mike Tadubin. Hello, friend, and greetings once again in the wonderful, matchless name of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. This is Bob Griggs with the Bread of Life broadcast, and I'm delighted that you've turned your radio dial to join us for a few moments of fellowship together as we look into the truth of God's Word. Remember, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. And so let's begin back at the beginning as we're thinking about this new beginning that God made for Israel at the Passover, as Exodus chapter 12 explains. It was a new beginning for Israel. The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. And so it was a new beginning as the death angel passed through the Lamb. The blood of are through the land, and the blood of the Lamb protected the firstborn of every household that had applied the blood to the doorpost and was eating the lamb together behind the blood. The blood of the Lamb delivered them from the bondage that they had been in for 430 years. And so, beloved, the truth is that the blood of God's Lamb delivers and cleanses us from all sin. And so, again, let's think clearly about our identity. Many Christians do not fully understand who they are, and so they struggle with indwelling sin, and they wonder sometimes, was I truly born again? Did I truly receive Jesus Christ as my Savior? Was there truly a change that took place in me? And so let's dig a little deeper into the Word of God and consider and think about these truths. First of all, I'd like for you to go back with me to the book of beginnings, the book of Genesis. That's the best place to begin in our thoughts. And in Genesis 1 and verse 26, God said, Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the earth, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Verse 26. Verse 27 states of Genesis 1, So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. So we see in our study here that God created man, and he created him in his image, in his likeness. Now we know that our God is one, and yet our God is triune. It's a mystery that's somewhat hard and difficult for us to comprehend and fully understand. But in the book of Matthew, if you'll go to the last chapter of Matthew, where the Lord was giving the Great Commission to the disciples and instructions concerning the spreading of the gospel, we read in verse 18 of Matthew 28, And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. And what is it we teach people? What's the very first thing we teach them? It's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. because they cannot understand the Word of God. We're told in the book of Corinthians, 1 and 2 Corinthians, they cannot understand the Word of God until the Spirit of God indwells a person. Only then will the Holy Spirit, who is our teacher, according to the Gospel of John, chapter 14, I believe it is, only as the Holy Spirit illuminates our minds and our understanding can we understand the Word of God, and does it begin to make sense to us. So the Holy Spirit is the teacher, and until a person is born again, they cannot understand the Word of God. That's why we present the gospel the first thing, that Christ died for our sins, that He was buried, that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, as 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 through 4 clearly states, this is the gospel. This is the good news. And so here in Matthew 28, teaching all nations, go ye therefore and teach all nations. After a person believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, accepting Him as Savior, then the next step is baptizing them in the name, and I want you to notice the word name is singular. It doesn't say in the names, plural. It says in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit. Those terms are synonymous, are the same. And so we see the triune Godhead revealed to us here in verse 19 of Matthew 28. The name of God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That is God's name. Our God is one, and yet revealed to us as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Thus God created man in His own image and in His own likeness as a triune being. And thus we note over in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 over in the New Testament, you go to the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, in front of it some short books, and then you come to Hebrews, and in front of Hebrews you come to a few more short books, and you come to 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, and verse 23. And there we read these words, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." The word sanctify has reference to making us holy, H-O-L-Y, and set apart for the use of the Lord. And He says, "May the very God of peace sanctify you wholly," and the word holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, refers to the whole man. "And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, Paul is writing to believers here at the church of Thessalonica. And Paul explains here that man is a triune being, created in the likeness and image of God. Man has a spirit, which relates to the spirit world. Man has a soul, which is our personality. The soul is made up of the thinking part of the brain, the mind. The emotions are our feeler. The mind's our thinker. The emotions are our feeler. And our will, that with which we make choices and decisions. So that's our chooser. The mind, the emotions, and the will. This is what makes up our personality and what people know us as. And then we see the third part of man is the body, which houses the soul and the spirit. And thus we see man is a triune being made in the likeness and in the image of God. Now, when the Holy Spirit convicts an individual of their sin, what part of man is it where the conviction takes place? It's within the inner man, the spirit of man. We refer to it sometimes as the heart of man. This is where the Holy Spirit convicts a person of their sin, because it's in our spirit that we get our identity. We're either a sinner, lost in sin, under the control and influence of Satan, or we are a child of God, born again by the Holy Spirit of God, indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, and thus made pure and clean and holy and righteous within our spirit. And so this is the area where salvation takes place. Remember John chapter 3 and verse 6, when Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus and told him, "You must be born again." Jesus explained about what he meant by being born again. He said, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh." That is physical birth. "That which is born of the Spirit is spirit." That's spiritual birth. And he said, "It is the work of the Holy Spirit. He is the one who enters into our spirit to do the work of salvation, to make us pure and clean and holy and righteous within our spirit." And so in our spirit, when we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, our spirit becomes the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. And thus we see we are made a new creation in Christ Jesus, as 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us. It's in our spirit that we become a new creation. Old things are passed away, and all things are become new. Our body is the same. We still look the same. Although the power of the Spirit of God working within us may cause us to live differently and to act differently, and that should be the case, but in our spirit is where this change takes place. And in our flesh, we will be seeing is indwelling sin, and we're going to talk about that. Until next time, goodbye.